We do have a few prayer requests.
All right.
Angela Jenkins, son Ricky, and their family. Charity and Matthew are at the hospital right now having a baby. And then praise report, my son Justin passed his HVAC journeyman's test yesterday. And then continue to pray for my sister Renee and her husband Robert.
All right.
As Robert's dad went to be with the Lord.
Yeah. All right. Let's lift these up in prayer. Gracious and almighty God, we lift up these prayer requests to you, Angela and Ricky, and the couple who's about to have a baby, have new life, and then praise reports for Justin and prayers for Renee and Robert. We lift these and others up to you, God. In this season where we remember and try not to miss your coming, we are reminded that your very name means God with us, Emmanuel. That you are with us, that you do hear us, that you do love us, that you do come to the brokenhearted, and you come to save souls from the inside out, to mend hearts, to build relationships. And so, God, today we lift up any prayer request that's on our heart or our mind. We place it at the foot of your throne, and we ask for your will to be done. And we pray, God, that you will give us a heart to be open, to be receiving, and to be ready to not only welcome you in at your coming, but to be ready to share that good news of great joy with a hurting world. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you'd like custom to designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in the Promise Center. I don't know the address, but Elk City. It's your turn.
Oh, it's
unless
my
you want
turn?
Me to do it. I think I've got it memorized. I did it so many times.
You're doing great, sister. You're doing great. The Refuge Church is now located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey, she'll bless your shoes and your socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply, Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title, Experience Christmas, What Do You See? Before we get started again, would you like to share upcoming specials?
Absolutely. So again, I am the senior pastor at Elk City United Methodist Church. And so this coming Sunday on Christmas Eve day, we're going to have a service at 10 a.m. in the morning. And then two at night, which will be at 5 o'clock, which is a contemporary Christmas Eve service. And then at 11 p.m., which is our traditional candlelight communion service. Okay. I also serve, my pastoral team and I serve at Eric United Methodist Church. And they're going to have a Christmas Eve service at 4 o'clock out in Eric, Oklahoma. And then we also serve Chapel Hill, which is just southeast of Clinton. And that'll be at 11 a.m. They'll have a Christmas Eve service. So busy, yeah. But amazing stuff. Again, you know, if you've got a church home, I pray that you'll be there. And if you don't have a church home, you're always welcome to come worship with us. So thank you for letting me talk about that. So I said to you at the end of the first half of the program that we were going to talk now about how do we actually embrace those markers. And I want to take you to a little phrase. Now, this one is free. You ready for this? This is the rocket science moment of this entire talk. If you read the Gospel of Luke, and I love Luke. Who doesn't love Luke? There's a phrase that you need to be paying attention to, and it comes up actually a lot. And it's sometimes... So I read pretty fast. I'm not quite a speed reader, but I read pretty fast, and I don't really read every word when I'm reading a book. I don't read certain things. I just, you know, just the way I've done it for years. And so this is a phrase that if I was doing that, I might miss. But I want you to pay attention to it, and it's this. I'm going to read this little piece to you and see if you catch it. Of course, I have to blow it up a little bit. This is from verse 41 of that text. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as a free aside here, if you are in the Gospel of Luke and you see filled with the Holy Spirit, you had better pay attention to what comes next. It is actually littered throughout the Gospel of Luke. Go look it up sometime if you haven't already. It is powerful. So, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And instead of her joining with the people looking at Mary horribly, she says, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And the baby within her leaps for joy at being near the Christ child. That is a complete 180 from what she has experienced back in Nazareth. In Nazareth, scorn, shame, isolation. She gets to Elizabeth, and it's just the opposite. And not only the opposite for Mary, but for Elizabeth, because now she understands this. She feels this hope. She feels this joy. She feels this peace. She feels this love. So much so that the baby within her, who we know will be John the Baptist, who will be the one to set the stage, leaps for joy in the womb. Zechariah, after John is born, will say, "You will be the prophet of the Most High God. You will make straight paths for him." And that's when Zechariah can speak, actually, because remember, he goes 9 months without speaking. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing response. You see, one of the things that I love about this passage, it's probably one of my favorites to preach in the month of December, is, and the reason it is because when I see Elizabeth's response, she's the first person who didn't miss Christmas. Everything in her mind might have been telling her to miss what's in front of her. She is taking ridicule. Remember, she's old lady pregnant. She's taking some scorn. Her husband can't speak. I mean, this is a very dangerous and difficult time for her. And so sometimes, you know, we get into our own stuff. Our own stuff clouds our what we see. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, she could have taken the tact everybody else took with Mary. You know, the words we can't say on the radio, they would bleep us out. You know, looking at her with scorn and ridicule like everybody else did. So both sides of that coin for Elizabeth, right? She could have gotten locked in her own stuff where she couldn't see or saw what she wanted to see. But instead, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, actually acknowledges the Christ child. She didn't miss it. And one of the things that I truly think about this text is just like for us, sometimes the culture and just our lives, everything is pushing us to see what they want us to see. But the question I have for us is, do we see what Elizabeth saw? Do you and I see what Elizabeth saw? Do we just see lights and hustle and bustle, or do we see those as evidence that focus us in on the Christ child? Are we so locked in ourselves that we can't see past here? Or do we see the Christ child the way Elizabeth saw the Christ child? You mentioned during the kind of the interlude there, you were telling the story, and you said that one of the things you believe from Scripture is that God comes to the brokenhearted. Look at who he shows up to here. Mm-hmm. A young mother who's been scorned and ridiculed, who needs a friend. And Elizabeth comes in and does that. Elizabeth, the old lady who's kind of being scorned for being an old lady who got pregnant. Mary comes and comforts her. They do it together, right? Even as this story progresses when Mary goes home. Joseph says, nope, I'm taking Mary as my wife, which is a beautiful thing. She needed a partner. He needed a partner. Even though it's weird, and I'm sure Joseph's family's not pleased. We didn't even get to that part of the story. But I'm sure Joseph's family's not happy. Like, what are you doing, Joseph? Well, I mean, Gabriel told me. Oh, the angel Gabriel told you. We'll get to that story some other time. Mm-hmm. That's a fabulous story. But then they have to go on this census, and they got to go another trip. See, most people think about Mary's trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and it's a tough 90 miles right before she's delivered. She actually makes two trips because she goes from Nazareth to Judea when she's probably in, let's say, the first couple of months of pregnancy, and then does it again. Joseph's with her. And imagine their brokenheartedness when they get to Bethlehem and there's no room for them in the inn. There's nowhere for them to stay. And you're about to be a first-time parent. And by the way, the child, son of God, and the best you can do is have him born in a barn? Lay him in a feed trough? Imagine how they feel. But imagine as the shepherds show up. Mary pondered those things in her heart, Luke 2 says. You see, this whole story, this whole Christmas adventure is about understanding that the Christ child, regardless of where you are at any particular moment, you know, some Christmases I come into the Christmas season pumped up, ready to go. I love Christmas. I love Jesus. I'm ready to go. I can't wait for all the stuff. And some Christmases I come in, you know, I love Jesus, but I'm tired. I've been to both. I'm sure most of you have too. Some years you get to Christmas Eve, you're like, Christmas Eve! And some years you're like, oh, Christmas Eve. Jesus is for you regardless. Emmanuel, God with us, is here regardless. Here to mend your broken heart. Here to confirm your hope. Here to let you experience the fullness of God's joy. Here to bring peace into a stressful world and life situation. Here to bring love. That's what he comes for. That's what Elizabeth saw through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you, anytime you see that phrase. And so I would argue that that becomes our marker. Don't just look at Christmas through our human eyes. Don't just look at Christmas and go, yep, great holiday, love it. I got to be with my family, went to church, church was beautiful, move on. I would beg us to open ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit help us to see like Elizabeth saw. So that when we get to January, which January is always coming, in, right? That's the clergy thing. We're like, oh, January is coming, you know? But when we get to January, instead of sitting there in the chair when the decorations have come down and the lights aren't up anymore, and I'm sitting back in my chair, and I'm looking at a house that now has our normal decorations up, not near as pretty, not near as frilly, not near as Christmassy, I can sit back in peace because this year I didn't miss the Christ child. I let the Christ child in. And wherever I met the Christ child, maybe it was at a year of despair or a year of joy. And maybe both. Mm-hmm. Usually both. But however I met the Christ child this year, my January is different because I met the Christ child. Because I don't want to sit in my chair in January and go, I missed it again. I missed him again. The world missed him the first time. Mm-hmm. That story, Mary and Elizabeth are there for each other, thank goodness, because no one else was. When Joseph and Mary have to go for the census in Bethlehem, nobody opened up their home. Nobody found a spot for them. This young couple, pregnant, you think somebody might have opened up their home for them. But again, I always say this every Christmas when I preach that, before I condemn somebody else, would I have opened my home to them?
Right.
You know, I hope I would, but I don't know that I would have. And especially right now, think about it from this perspective. It's Christmas Eve. You got your family together. The last thing I want to be bothered with is somebody else. I remember one year, true story. I won't tell you what church because I don't want to do that. But I was pastoring a church, and at that time my kids were younger. But we did our Christmas between services. So we had a morning and a night, or an early afternoon and then a night service. So we would do our Christmas between. And we're right in the middle of opening presents. My kids are younger. They're not young, but they're younger. And a parishioner knocked on the door. They were actually bringing some baked goods. But it was just went all over me that they would bother. Well, I've got my kids are opening presents. You coming to my door. That's my normal reaction. I can't blame them without blaming myself. I mean, that's the hard part of the Christmas story is if I want to condemn anybody, it's one of those, go ahead at your own peril. So instead, I don't want to be like those folks. I don't want to be like what I normally would be like. So I challenge myself, I challenge you, I challenge anybody who's watching. Take a risk. Let the Holy Spirit guide you so that you have the eyes that Elizabeth had. So that you experience Christmas, experience the Christ child in all of his fullness and splendor, hope, joy, peace, love, and that it transforms you from the inside out. Because Christ did come. Christ does change the world. Mm-hmm. Christ's coming truly put events into motion that saves our souls. And if we can't get behind that, then that's an indictment on us, not on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And look around. This is one time the world is trying to help us do this. Right. Usually it's the other way around. So let's do this as Christians. Let's take advantage of this. Let's not miss another Christmas. Let's see with the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what Elizabeth saw. Somebody asks you, when you think about Christmas, what do you see? Without hesitation, you can say, I see the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. I see Emmanuel. And if you can say those things and believe that in your heart, and it's confirmed through the Spirit, you and I will never be the same. That's how I hope we experience Christmas this year.
That's awesome. It's a powerful word.
I like... Go ahead.
No, you go.
I like Rick Renner. Rick and Denise Renner. Mm-hmm. I've been watching them on YouTube for a couple years now. And about this time, he does... This morning I was watching, and it was talking about the Magi, the wise men, okay? And then it was talking about how they weren't just bringing these little bitty boxes of gold, myrrh, and frankincense. It was. Now, the Magi back in that time, they had an entourage. I mean... They could take a king out of there and replace that king. They had that authority. And I just found it cool how sometimes we miss or we come to our own conclusions. And it's like also something else that I've learned from Rick Renner is that they didn't get a room because they were poor. Now, when they call for a census and everybody has to go back to their hometown, could you imagine now just imagine now, if they decided, okay, we're doing a census, everybody has to return to their hometown. How many rooms would be available? How many rooms in a hotel would be available in Elk City if everyone that was from Elk City had to return to Elk City for the census?
Yeah.
And then one other thing that I find really cool that I myself, now when I say this, I say it made me go, wow, okay. Back then, there, the terrain was mountains, stone stuff. The caves, the barns...
Were in caves.
Yeah. Were caves.
Grottos, yes.
And the feeding trough wasn't wood. It was stone.
Most likely.
And I was like, wow.
One of the neat things, I got to go to Israel about 10 years ago.
Oh, I bet that was cool.
Yeah, it's. I tell people it really is the fifth gospel. If you ever get a chance, you should go. But when you go to Bethlehem and you go to Christmas Square, and by the time you get to the point where you get down into the grotto itself, some places you actually have to crawl. I mean, it's terrain, but when you're inside the cave, you it's very different. You know, I think of a barn. I think of a big red barn here in Elk City, yeah. Right? Yeah. You see them all over, you know, barns. All.
Yeah.
This is a cave, but it's that they would have cut it out of the rock. Mm-hmm. And so there's this really powerful feel. You know, caves are both at times scary and life-giving. Mm-hmm. Very reminiscent of this whole scene, right? Yes. It, I mean, the angel does have to say, fear not. don't be afraid. Yeah, right. Okay. You know? And yet, fear not, because the Savior of the world is here, right? And so there's a real, I mean, that could be a whole lesson in and of itself. We could spend another hour and a half on that or two, because it's just that cool and powerful. But I think the most, for me, the most important thing is, however we get there, whether it's the angels, the star, whatever it is in the story, and then for us, however it is that leads us back to the Christ child, mm-hmm. thank God it does.
Amen.
Amen.
So. Amen. We appreciate you coming and sharing with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You're one of my favorites. Don't tell the others. No, just kidding. you're all my favorites. I've been listening to this program for probably since close to the time that it went on the air, back when I had to listen on a radio, and I had a crazy busy toddler at the time running around, so sometimes I miss pieces and parts here and there, but I always thought this program was really neat that I could hear from different local people from different denominations, and we all agree about the truth of the word.
Absolutely.
So cool.
Absolutely.
This is my daily bread. Thank you, yes. Lord, for my daily bread.
Yes.
Thank you for the wheat, the rye, the white, the all, I mean, you just get all the bread.
And thank you for Neva Pyatt.
Amen.
Putting it on her heart. Because this program has literally discipled me for probably the last 15 years, even when I wasn't plugged into a church family. So
you can keep the sourdough bread, Lord.
Hey, I like
sourdough. I don't need the sourdough.
I like sourdough. Just take the gluten sourdough out.
I do, too. I'm just making a funny.
It's good. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Scott Rogers, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.